Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Testicles. Balls.
Any more balls?
Sloppy
There's
balls.
Always more balls.
All right, so welcome to the show. You are listening to episode number 116 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your co-hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek. Going around the table, we have...
Brutal Dave.
George Stripsis.
And Justin Corbett.
Our permanent special guest.
At least for the next few weeks.
Yeah, for a little while. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. How are you, man?
It's been a week.
One whole week.
It's been a hell of a week.
It's been a hell of a week. That's what I was getting to. What's everybody up to? Let's talk to Justin first, since he's our very special guest.
I feel special.
Okay, you're just a guest. Let's
take the special.
No more
off
egos.
Of that.
Yeah. Well, I used to host Comical Podcast.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, for those of you who don't already know, although it's been kind of big news on social media for the last week or so, Comical Podcast is over.
It's because you're so special.
Yeah. Really, it came down to a matter of time. It became really hard for Miguel and I to find the time to record, to find the time to buy our comics and read our comics. And so we decided it was a good point to call it quits. I felt like we had done as much as we could do with that show.
How many episodes did you do?
We did 138. 139 if you count the final goodbye episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a good run, man.
We had a good run. We did it for about 3 years. It was a lot of fun.
I'm sad to see you go, but I'm excited for future ventures.
Don't say you like to watch me leave. Watch me walk away.
I'm excited for your future ventures.
I love you too, man, but not like that. Come on. Yeah, I'm excited too. And I've got stuff already kind of working. I've talked to you about it quite a bit, George, but
yep.
There is a new podcast in my future. I'm not going to stop doing this because obviously I love it. And I'm doing a full-on comedy show. It probably won't be related around comics, but I'm excited to get that started.
It's full on, like a strap on.
That's right. That should be happening sometime early 2017.
So comedy show, and you're going to get George involved?
Yes.
How's that going to work?
I don't know. I told him the same thing.
Well, George and I have a lot of fun working on the comic. You know, we obviously write Speak No Evil together, spend a lot of time hanging out and just shooting the shit, making jokes, and I'm sure we'll work really well together as podcast buddies as well. And we got one more guy that's probably going to come in. We're still kind of working out the kinks, and it'll probably be, like I said, the beginning of 2017 before we really get that started.
Well, that's cool. Congrats on everything, man. Congrats on the Kickstarter number 2.
Oh, yeah.
And congrats on, how am I going to say this, for your future endeavor.
There you go.
From getting it away from the, from bad situations into good situations.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a bad situation. It was just, it had run its course. Like, we worked really hard on it, and it was a good show for a really long time. It just got tedious and time-consuming. But I am excited for the future, because the next show is not going to be so time-intensive.
Are you still going to be reading comics, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Comics are a big passion of mine. They always have been.
Plus, we make a comic book together,
and
so
we write comics,
so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't have any plans on quitting that.
I'm only reading mine now. That's it.
How vain would I be to say that? No, but I'm still going to read everything. And, you know, if anybody wants to pick my brain or talk comics, you know, please do. And I'm sure that whenever I start the new show, I'll be having my comic guest friends come back on.
And we'll have you come on this show and talk about comics every once in a while.
Yeah, like, I would love
you're
to.
The
I love hanging out with you guys.
Compared to me,
you're a comic book expert.
Yeah. I read, but I don't read as much as you do. That's for sure.
Because you can't.
Most people don't.
Because
it takes a long time. That's what I'm trying to tell you, people.
Well, the reason why the show failed, goddamn it.
Let's talk about what's the most the biggest thing you've been reading right now that you have to let people know about, comic book wise.
It's called My Penis.
Well, there's a little book called Speak No Evil that's really good.
I think they heard it enough on the show.
Yeah, they might have. Well, there's a lot of really good stuff out right now. I'm really enjoying all the DC Rebirth titles. Batman's been excellent. The Curse of the Monster Men just finished up. That was written by Steve Orlando. I really enjoyed that. There's a lot of good Image stuff going out. Reborn, the new book from Mark Millar and Greg Capullo.
I have not read that yet. I saw that.
The issue 2 came out today. It's very interesting. Definitely.
I heard it's good. I'm going to check out the trade when it comes out.
I like it a lot. I feel like the issues are kind of short, but it's a lot of fun. Definitely a good one to check out.
I read issue 1 of Enchanted Tiki Room.
I have not read that.
Not very good.
I'm not surprised.
The Disney Kingdom thing?
Yes.
Right on.
That seems like a bit of a stretch for a
topic.
It's like
Fantasy Island with the Tiki Room Birds.
They might as well have the Magic Teacups comic book. Like, what's the difference?
Give them time. Give them time.
I went for the three Caballeros Amigos.
I'd actually read that.
They have a comic?
No, I'm sure. I don't know. Maybe.
They should make one. How they met and...
The Haunted Mansion series by, what's his name?
Josh Williamson.
Josh Williamson was really good.
It was really good. It was really good. He's moved on to other things.
Yep.
He's
moved away from Marvel, right?
He signed an exclusive deal with DC, and he's still working on his indie books. Nailbiter. I always champion that
book.
I
actually picked up both the first two volumes of Nailbiter.
Have you read it yet?
Yeah, I have read the first one. It's good.
It's my favorite comic on the stands. Like, if you're looking for anything to read, I can't recommend Nailbiter highly enough. That's my favorite book that's out right now.
Look what it did to my fingers.
Did you bite your nails?
I had to bite my nails.
Well, don't start killing
people.
This
is people. A podcast. They can't see what true. We're looking at.
Well, seriously, guys, thank you so much for letting me come on and be a permanent special guest or whatever. I mean,
anytime you want to come on, you're welcome to come on.
I like hanging really out with you guys, so yeah. It's always fun.
Even if I'm not here, you can just come record.
Kim?
She's going to do the board operator.
Me and Kim will just podcast. That's right.
What have you been up to, George?
Not a whole lot since last time we spoke. I saw a new movie. I went to go see Arrival.
I really want to see that. Give me your opinions.
It's really good. I don't want to say too much because it might spoil it.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It's worth seeing. And I forget the name of the director. Denis Villeneuve.
A lot of people compared it to like Contact, that type of movie.
Yeah. There's been a lot of comparisons to that. I'm not a huge fan of Contact because I hate the last half of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like the part where they build the sphere in Contact, that's when I lost interest.
I watched that again recently.
It's good. I really
like
it. I
haven't watched it since it came out.
Contact?
Yeah.
The opening sequence of that movie is still amazing.
Did you lose contact with Contact?
I when the movie first came out, I hated it. Mostly because of like the very ending of it.
Yeah, I hate the ending.
I think I enjoyed a lot more of it this time.
I have not watched it in a really, really long time. Probably since when it came out in the theaters.
That's the last time I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of cool social commentary in this new movie. And
Amy Adams
and Jeremy Renner.
To and Lois Lane and Hawkeye together.
Right, and Forest Whitaker.
And the guy from Star Wars now.
Right, the old guy from Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's his claim to fame after like all these years of critical acclaim.
Yeah.
He's that guy that's in Star Wars.
Finally get into a Star Wars movie, then you made it, finally.
Man, he's Ghost Dog, always.
That's true.
That was the last thing I saw, I believe. I feel like I saw something else before that. Oh, we talked about that already. Doctor Strange,
yeah. We did a whole episode on that.
Yeah, we did. I'm going to go see Fantastic Beasts tomorrow.
I'm
going to
go see it this weekend myself.
Right on.
I don't think... The voice from the other room, Kim, has never watched a full Harry Potter movie.
Because she hates joy, is what it is.
Well,
right?
No, but after visiting the Harry Potter lands at Universal last month,
yeah,
she's like, I want to see the movie.
This butterbeer is the shit.
Butterbeer is the shit.
Dude, it's so good, but it's so bad for you at the same time. And it's so rich, I couldn't finish a whole cup by myself.
What is it?
It's butterscotch flavor.
Oh, God. No.
It's like butterscotch soda.
Yeah, it's cream soda with butterscotch in it.
No.
We bought
it's
some...
It's a lot better than it sounds, but it's also really hard to get all the way.
It doesn't have a strong butterscotch taste to it.
Yeah, it does. I think it does.
Not the ice cream version,
if you don't... Okay, I didn't try
the slushy version.
If you don't like butterscotch, you will not like it.
Okay.
At least the drink version. Because they make it in three different versions.
There's a hot drink, there's
a cold
drink,
and
then
the
regular.
Yeah.
I had
what he said.
I had the regular one at one time, and it was... I like the frozen better, truthfully.
I haven't tried it any other way.
So
frankly, it sounds disgusting any other way.
The Arrival. The hot sounds bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want to try it.
Anyway, I digress. Arrival. Good. Go see it.
All right.
It's probably one of the better science fiction films in quite some time.
Very cool. What about you, Dave? What have you been up to?
We went to, as Geekazoid, we went to the Houston Mini Maker Fair last weekend.
I've covered that before when I used to work at a TV station.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot more fun than I was anticipating, I think.
I covered it when it was in the Stafford Center.
Okay.
So it got, I'm sure it's much bigger now.
It's at the George R. Brown.
Much bigger.
It was in Exhibit Hall A, the GRB.
Cool.
We haven't done anything like that before, but we're... very makerspace kind of people. Our library has a makerspace, actually. It's one of the few that does, but our library has that stuff, laser cutters and 3D printers and all that kind of stuff, and we're up there all the time.
My cousin is in a... They're in a robotics teams. They do competitions and stuff like that.
Lots of that up there. Lots of schools up there representing the robotics teams doing competitions and stuff like that. A lot
that
of
stuff
people.
Was fun to watch.
Like Robot Wars? Cool. Not like that. More like you have to build a robot that does a certain task.
You can put a ball in a basket.
And destroy stuff.
No, there's no destruction.
Kill all humans.
obey my bidding.
But yeah, I mean, it was all different makerspaces around the area. There's a lot more of them than I realized there were. It turns out there's the one at our library that I've of course knew about. It turns out there's like two others within just a couple miles of my house. Mm. I'm like, oh, cool. Well,
so I know I saw some pictures that you posted. You weren't really like merching there, but
were
you a little bit?
Yeah, we did the kind of stuff that, you know, selling decals and buttons and stuff like that.
But you were letting kids do it too,
because,
right?
Yeah, because it was a maker's fair. We thought, well, we need to kind of get into the spirit of that, and so we set up a table for kids to come and make their own decals and make their own buttons, and it was actually a lot of fun. It was really busy. It was a lot busier than I was expecting it to be.
No one lost a finger.
So.
That we know about.
They could have.
They weren't. It was, like you said, it was busy. They didn't pay attention to everybody.
No, I totally did. but yeah, it was cool. I mean, I talked to all these makerspaces in the area. I talked to, you know, kids who were there with robot competitions. I talked to this one older guy who built old, like, using the same kind of technology of like World War II era radios and stuff. I talked to that guy for like half an hour because he was really interesting.
Nice.
And he was like, here's all these old radios and here's the history of them and here's how they work. This one doesn't require a power source at all. And it runs forever. And it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. So he was selling them, but he was basically telling you and showing you how they're all put together. Like it was all like, if you know anything about soldering circuits together and stuff, it's like you could look at it and be like, oh, okay, well, I can go home and build one of those now, you know. And but it's because it's that kind of a spirit. I like that's the whole maker.
Anybody making R2D2?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the first thing you build in robotics.
I think there were at least two up there. But yeah, that's the whole maker space, maker spirit, the whole hacker everything that you share. Whatever it is you're working on, you share it, you know. And to me, it was really inspiring to see all of the different things that people were making, coming up with. A lot of the people up there are engineers or of some kind or another. I'm an artist. So I go up there with that in mind, and I talk to people, and I'm like, well, I'm an artist, not really an engineer. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. You could make use of whatever. And that's what's exciting to me about the makerspace idea is you get all these people with these different specializations that can come together. And
right.
Like my wife goes up to our makerspace at our library, and she's making art with the equipment that they have up there, and it like blows their minds up there because it's all like electrical.
Oh, I never thought of that before.
Wow, cool. But then she's like, I need this technical information to execute this idea that I have, and I have no idea how to do that. And they're like, oh, that's totally easy, you know. And for them, it's nothing. And
they're like, yeah, this is how you do it.
So I don't know. I find the space is really inspiring. I like to see people creating and collaborating and sharing what they're working on. And a lot of it is kind of education based, and I like seeing all these kids up there getting into science and technology. And we brought our kids up there on Sunday, and they had a blast.
Very cool.
It was really cool. So, very cool experience.
I know they had some of that kind of stuff at Comic Blue, but not to the extent.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I actually commented about.
Because the same guys that bring their stuff to Comic Blue is the guys that run the Maker Fair, Maker Fair.
And I had commented on that during Comic Palooza this year that I found that really commendable that Comic Palooza brought all those people in and had the large NASA presence. And because the futurist part of me is like, you know, I really like to see that stuff. I like
NASA
to see...
still exists?
I'm joking. They're just not going to space right now.
SpaceX.
It's the only one that works right now.
Elon Musk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not human.
So, I guess recently I finished Infinite Warfare last weekend from Redbox. Redbox. And this weekend,
Didn't you just win that game?
I did, so but I already beat it, though.
You beat the game that you won for free. Okay.
I beat it before I found out I won it for free.
Oh, gotcha.
And I finished the game, too. Yeah.
So now you don't want the game anymore.
No, I want the game.
Oh, okay.
Because my wife wants to play it. I want to play it again. Actually, it was that much fun. But I will let you borrow it. I know what you're getting at.
Yeah,
he's like, well, I just wanted it for free, but...
That's all right. I see how it is.
I did finish Titanfall 2 over the weekend.
Yeah? No one's buying it because Call of Duty came out.
I watched Carrie play it for about 4 hours. It looks pretty awesome.
It looks good, but I don't know. There's still something weird. The single player is the first time they've done a single player, and you can sort of tell there's a lot of good stuff in it, but it felt very... I don't want to say corridor-like, but it felt the levels were a little short.
It's linear. I mean,
very linear, yeah, but...
Most games like that are, though.
I don't know, just like...
I mean, it's no worse than any Halo game. I mean, the storylines are always pretty linear.
The storyline was great. I mean, it wasn't bad. It's a great-looking game.
And it seems like the mechanics are really well thought out, too, and they do some really interesting stuff.
Okay, like, they gave you the best mechanic in the game.
It's for a very short period of time.
It's so annoying.
Watching you play it, I was like, I want to play this game just to play this part of it. Like,
they should have been the whole game.
Do you still have it?
No, I returned to the red box.
Son of a bitch.
What's the game mechanic that was
so they gave you a gun where you can actually... Like, use the LB trigger, and you can travel back and forth between time.
It's a wristband that you get from this other guy who was working on research on this temporal shifting thing.
I guess you're paying more attention.
I was paying more attention to the story. But you basically are following through two different storylines at the same time. You've got what's going on in the present, where everything's all dilapidated and post-apocalyptic, and there's these like crazy dinosaur-type monsters coming after you. And then you've got the past, where it's this scientific research facility, and there's all these military guys that are trying to stop you from stealing the information. And you go back and forth between the two of them, and you have to keep switching in order to get past certain obstacles and things
like
that.
They had some really great little puzzles
like
made out of it.
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time kind of thing.
A little more refined. And it worked better in like a first-person shooter kind of thing. It was really elegant the way they made it switch back and forth.
Oh, is
seamless.
The first person or the single player campaign all in first person too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Damn it.
You mean damn it? That's like the best thing.
Yeah.
I hate first person player
games. Oh man, I love FPSs.
Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, actually, one of the sound designers.
One of the only things we don't agree on.
I know, it's okay.
I used to work with one of the sound designers on the game, Ricardo Hernandez. I worked with him on Section 8 for a while. He's a good guy. I'm glad he's moved on to bigger and better things.
Section 8?
Section 8.
What's that?
It was a 360 game.
Oh.
You know, I remember
Section 8?
I didn't play it, but I remember when it came out.
I played it. Over and over and over and over.
So, go on.
No, it was just cool that he's moved on to, you know...
He worked on Titanfall?
Yeah, he worked on... He was one of the lead sound designers.
Ooh.
It's cool.
Should get him on the show one of these days.
I need to, yeah. Let's call him up.
Yeah.
I was like, when we were working on Section 8, I was one of the, he had me in his studio one day, which was in our building, and I was like temporary audio for some of the grunts and stuff like that in the game, and some of that made it into the final game.
You had him in a grunt?
Like the soldiers and stuff like
that. Yeah, did you make a grunt?
I was a grunt. I didn't know. I didn't grunt myself.
Oh, okay.
I just read some lines.
Oh.
Tool time.
Futuristic tool time. I have been catching up on Gossam.
Yeah.
I know we talked about that briefly the other day.
Why would you do that? A
couple
to
episodes behind still.
It's not bad.
It's pretty bad.
I like Gossam. It's fun.
It's never been good.
If you take yourself out of it's not Batman exactly per se.
But it's never been good though.
No, it's been good in
interesting.
Places. It's been there were things about it that were not great, but there are also things that are able to be liked about it, and I feel like it's gotten better as it's gone along.
Yeah, I hear now they're just swinging for the fences because they're on the way to cancellation.
I haven't heard cancellation.
I have.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about it.
As long as they make it through the season, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. It sucks.
Got to find out if Penguin and the Riddler finally get together or not.
Penguin.
Penguin.
Said it wrong. It's penguin.
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 Penguins.
It's how Eggs Benedict says it.
I just got to that episode where he's like trying to like... Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for people that are watching it, but...
Spoilers.
It's weird.
Spoilers.
There's a gay romance blooming in the show.
With Penguin?
I just gave it away.
Yeah.
Penguin and the Riddler.
Yeah.
Shut. Is that for real?
It's for real, yeah.
That's so stupid.
Well, I thought that when I first saw it, I thought it was just a gimmicky thing, or they were trying to do it just because Robin Lord Taylor is gay. But the more I think about it, like... think about everything you ever know about the Penguin. Throughout all of comics history, throughout all of movie history, have you ever seen the Penguin in any kind of romantic relationship at all?
He always wanted to have sex with Catwoman a lot. Yeah. No,
he makes commentary about Catwoman, but he never hits on her. Maybe the old
Danny DeVito does.
The Danny DeVito one, he kind of does.
Yeah, he keeps on talking about how he wants to eat her pussy and stuff.
That's right, he does make that joke.
Yeah.
But still, the majority of Penguin stuff, he wants
to grab her pussy, not eat.
Okay, that's Trump, guys. Come on.
Okay.
The majority of Penguin stuff, it feels like it was never really well established, and a lot of stuff makes sense if you think about it. Like, he was gay and he maybe loved the Riddler, and the Riddler rebuked him, and then he got really depressed and started eating a lot, and he gained a bunch of weight, and that's how he turned into the fat Penguin we all know and love. There's definitely a progression you can follow there if you want to.
That's all our fat guys, that's all we are. We just turn to food when we're sad.
That's true.
Now, instead of wah-wah, I'm just going to hear penis. And that's all I'm going to hear.
Wiener.
All right. So let's wrap up our intro, and we'll get into our topic of the week. And we're here at the topic, the main topic of this episode of the Metal Geeks podcast. And what is that topic, guys?
Crowdfunding is what we decided to talk about.
Exactly right.
Crowdfunding.
Specifically with metal bands.
Yes. Well, a little bit with everything, too, because I think whatever applies to...
There's certainly some crossover.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of crossover, but we'll get into it. Let's talk about the main story where this...
Well, we have two crowdfunding experts here at the table.
I don't think we're experts by any means.
Well,
but
you've had two successful crowdfunding projects make... So that's pretty good.
Yes. You say you have to do 10,000 hours of something to be an expert at it. I think we're about halfway there.
Already?
I would say halfway there. By the fourth one, we will be amazing.
Yes,
we
can. I always say I'm never an expert at something because if you become an expert, it means you never stop. You don't learn anymore. You stop learning.
I don't think there's always room for growth. Yeah, there's always room for growth.
So you're never really an expert.
I think if you're an arrogant expert, maybe that's true.
Or if you're George Lucas.
There you go.
Like I said.
He just quits and takes the money, you know. So the main topic, the band we want to talk about that's really doing this, is a band that we all enjoy.
I fucking love them.
It's a band called Allegion. Or Allegion.
Allegion.
Allegion. Allegedly.
Allegion, I think is how.
Allegion as well. There's a lot of different ways you can pronounce it. It's hard to... We've talked about this before on the show, actually. Yep.
Or Allegion.
Allegion, there you go.
Sure.
So they've basically put... they've done Kickstarter for like a GoFundMe when they had to purchase a new vehicle.
Was it a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe?
They did an Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
To replace their tour bus when it was destroyed back in 2000. And then they did
2000?
Yeah, it was 2000.
Was it that long ago?
It was for that. And then in 2003, they ran a Kickstarter to finance their album.
Which is out now.
Which came out... back in 2003.
Oh.
And now...
13 years ago.
Now what they're trying to do is...
Patreon.
And the reason they're doing Patreon is because all of them have day jobs, and they want to do music full-time, and it's very hard for anybody who's creative to make a living doing it, especially in today's
age.
It's very
true.
Right. In the 80s or 90s, you could... You know, if you made it to the point where you had a representative label or whatever, you could sell CDs and you could make enough to live off of. But that's not even really a reality anymore for metal musicians.
Even for the big bands that 15 years ago were living off of being a band,
yeah.
Now even they're struggling.
Yeah. It's much harder for anybody creative.
You have to... A lot of it now with merchandising.
Is that why Rush is still making albums?
Yeah, they probably have to.
No, well, albums don't really make you any money more. It's the touring. Touring and merch, really.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
to stay relevant.
That's why Iron Maiden's always going on tour.
There's most people aren't an Iron Maiden, though.
Right. Allegion.
A lot of bands lose money.
Yeah.
Touring.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason we're even talking about these guys is because A, they're a really good band, and B, they're in a situation where they put out this thing on Patreon saying, we want to be able to do our music full time, and the only way we can do that is if our audience comes out and supports us and is willing to pay for us to have a livable wage to make these albums, because they're not making the money on tour, they're not making the money with merch sales, they're not making the money with the album sales.
What's interesting about this whole topic right here, especially with Allegion, is it's so polarizing between in the metal scene right now.
The metal blog scene blew up like 2 weeks ago.
They hated this
shit. It was a total fucking meltdown.
I don't think it's all that bad.
No, I think it's actually a really interesting idea and a really clever way for maybe bands to move forward trying to survive, because it's got to be hard for these guys. I mean, George and I are independent comic creators. We both have full-time jobs, and we do as much as we can on our book. You know, it takes a lot of time out of our weekly schedule. We go to different conventions, but...
Yeah, we have yet to make a profit off of it.
Right, we won't see a profit until issue 5 or maybe even later than that. It's possible.
20.
These guys are on their, I think, 5th studio album. They've been doing this for a long time, and I'm sure they're not making enough to validate devoting as much time as they are to this. Like, I'm sure their family life suffers. I'm sure their jobs suffer. I'm sure everything suffers. And I could understand them wanting to find some new avenue to move on where they could do this full time and not have to worry about all the
other...
Would
you?
Yes, if I could.
So, can we talk for a minute about what kind of the nature of the meltdown of the metal blog community was in
a lot
of the comments?
Whiny,
like,
bitchy
so,
shit?
So, yeah, so that we can talk what we're responding to.
Yeah.
Right. So, there was this idea... that was heavily repeated, that was basically Allegion are a bunch of crybabies, they're a bunch of lazy fucks, they're whiners, they're holding their fans hostage, basically saying that they're threatening to break up unless their fans fork over all this money. And they never really said that. They said... this is the reality. This is the world that we live in.
It's hard out there for a metal band to
make
money.
I think it's kind of a cool way to just like just cutting out the middleman and just buy straight from the source kind of deal.
And we're in that age now. We're in the age where content creators don't need the gatekeepers anymore.
Yes,
the gatekeepers
agreed.
Are becoming irrelevant. And I said 10 years ago, the day is coming where people are going to stop going to the gatekeepers for access, and it's going to turn around and the gatekeepers are going to start competing with content creators to represent them.
Spotify.
Things like that. Things like...
Well, Spotify is very helpful to independent artists, though.
Yes and no.
All the bands that you've made me listen to or all have been there, and they get paid every time you listen to them.
They barely get paid.
That's not true.
That is true.
Show me some proof where that's true, because I've seen otherwise. I've seen otherwise, where people get paid very well according to how many people listen to them a month.
Well, I know that Scott Ian was one of the people that complained about how poorly they get paid on Spotify.
Well, in general, metal is not a super popular genre, especially here in the States. Like, it does have a following, but there's no metal band that's going to be able to compete with Beyonce or something like that on Spotify.
Sure.
And those,
unless it's a metalized version of Beyonce songs,
but even then, there's
or Mary Poppins.
I mean, yes, there are some, like, you know, gimmicky stuff that might cross that threshold. But in general, like, if you're a pop icon or whatever, and you're doing music that generally the mass public is going to like, then yes, you can make decent money on Spotify. But if you're, you know, a band like a Legion or, you know, Fear Factory or something, you're not going to do as well. You're just not, because metal is not as popular, especially in the United States, as it is around the rest of the world.
And they get paid by click or by listen.
By listen, yeah.
And it's so... The amount of per listen is so small.
It's got to be a fraction of a penny.
It is.
Yeah. And if you get 100 listens a month for something like the Legion on Spotify...
You get a penny.
They get like 3 cents.
I guess so.
You know, I mean, that's not a livable wage.
So this is important because this is part of why this is the reality for not just Allegion but so many metal bands.
Yeah.
And it's because while the information age, the internet age, is really good for content creators. How many artists and writers and musicians do just we know sitting in this room who have been able to have any kind of success because they can directly market to their audience because of the internet.
The internet's amazing for discovering new things.
Mm-hmm. And removing that gatekeeper aspect of all of these industries that have existed before, video games and music and movies and everything, where there've been the powerhouses, and they're the powerhouses because they had the money. Well, now everybody just goes, well, I think I can do this without you, and I can get paid directly, and you don't get to fuck me out of it. That sounds like a better deal to me. Yeah, I may not be making as much money as I potentially could if I had your marketing behind me and that. But how many stories do you still hear about bands getting fucked by their record labels?
Right, and I mean, even somebody like Allegion. Allegion has a record label. They're represented by Metal Blade. Like,
yes.
I mean, I'm sure that that company is putting their stuff out there and doing promotion and has them on iTunes. But, you know, the distribution platforms take a cut as well. So right. when you put something on something like iTunes or Google Play or whatever you listen to your music on, you know, that site gets a cut, and then your distributor gets a cut, and then your label gets a cut, and by the time you get paid for your 99-cent song you sold, you make 11 cents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still just as bad as it ever was with the CDs and things like right. that in the past. And, you know, back then there wasn't even the issue of torrenting or people stealing the music. You know, I mean, yeah. so many people just don't support the things they love and they just steal it.
So at the end of the day, they really make money on concerts.
Right, but that's a hard life. And it's not like you make, you know, tens of thousands of dollars doing
no.
a tour. Like, you're lucky if you make enough to cover your costs.
Cover the tour.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a smaller band. I mean, there was a band recently I was talking to. I'm not going to mention any names. They just, you know, did a big European tour and they came back with no money.
Yeah.
Barely made any profit. So here's about Spotify. Spotify admits the average per stream payout to rights holders lands somewhere between 0.0006 and 0.0084.
Yeah, I just read it.
Yeah. So for example, the guy said, I streamed a song 267 times in 1 year period. They made $2.24, the band. And that goes, and you have to pay the songwriters, you have to pay all these different things. So the band might not even see like
well, if
half
you're
of that,
if you're an independent band, chances are you write your own music.
Right.
Right.
There are things like Bandcamp where you can distribute your stuff directly and you
right.
can, you know, there are four pay platforms that you can sell your stuff directly to the public too, but it makes it that much harder for a band to gain an audience and to get people to even
yeah.
check you out.
It's
if
hard
you're trying to
find
to go that
you
route.
On Bandcamp.
Right. So there's really not like a great system out there for any kind of content creator to get their stuff out and keep all the profit themselves. There's always going to be some kind of somebody with their hand in the cookie jar taking a little bit of what you earn. And
well, that's just how business is done.
It is, but like that's why I think it's noble and interesting that they're trying to do something different by branching out something like Patreon. Like we said before, they've done Indiegogo, they've done Kickstarter. Those are both platforms where you set a specific amount you're trying to get, and then once you hit that goal, that money's yours, and you can
well,
use it for what you
said.
Why
not bands using things like Patreon? Podcasters use it all the time.
Sure.
Content creators, they're creating content. If you're a fan of a band, how much does it cost to give? Here's a dollar a month. If they have 500, you know, 500,000 fans or whatever it is.
Well, let's
fans.
Put this in another perspective. Let's say, for example, Devin Townsend had a Patreon. You would totally.
I would
pledge.
Pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. What would be your base amount? Like what
per
was,
month?
Yeah.
For
what,
the,
would, what would
the
you feel?
Enjoyment that I get?
Yeah, yeah. And what was
for the knowledge that indefinitely he'd be creating music and creating things that you enjoy.
And
what
also,
is, what
depends on what I get out of it, too. I mean, if there's
right,
like,
there's different reward levels.
Reward levels,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, but what do you think is the max that you would be comfortable paying?
Out of my own pocket?
Yes.
Per month.
Yeah, per month.
I don't know, $5?
$5.
Yeah.
All right.
You're a hardcore fan.
Hardcore fan.
Yeah.
All right, so
but
times that by
hard,
how many fans
right.
they actually have.
It's a lot of hardcore fans, yeah.
I mean, if you look at like Twitter for a relatively small band like Allegion, because they are still fairly small, even though they've been doing this for a long time, they have like 120 to 200,000 Twitter followers.
So in their Patreon, let me find it real fast on that point.
Sure.
They actually mention something about the point you're making. So go ahead and talk. I'm going to find.
Well, if every one of their followers just gave a dollar, that's $100,000. And
right.
that's what they're asking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're saying
so,
they need to make, I think, $50,000 a month or $50,000 per band member per year in order for those people to have a livable
and
wage.
And there's
five people in the
oh,
band.
Five.
So yeah. it would be $250,000 what they're asking for
than,
split up over
12
months.
More than a lot of people get paid, though.
So it's they
true.
Said with 105,000 plus followers on Facebook, if a mere 4.7% of that audience donated a meager $5 a month to Allegion, we would exceed that goal by about $3,405 per month.
Yeah. $5 a month to support something you really love and are really passionate about is nothing. You know, people waste that on a cup of coffee every single
they
day.
They make
yeah.
Starbucks. Point too.
Right.
Yeah. Do they really?
That's yeah. usually everyone's
there's
first
there's actually
go-to
a,
point.
There's actually a section right below that. Things you spend $5 on. All
hey,
things you spend
great $5
on.
Alike, that's all I can say.
The heading for the section is actually things you spend $5 on, like, all the time.
Coffee.
Bike stickers with a yellow happy face. An I will not be your father's Star Wars themed condom. A poop emoji mini pillow.
I would pay for that condom.
and on and it goes on.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean the cup of coffee one is the most common.
Right,
everyone uses that as a, like, well, you spend $5 on coffee. I don't. Why couldn't you spend $5 on something you really like?
The only really valid point that I think somebody can even make against this is that if every band starts following this model and starts asking for $5,
I was
going
to make that everybody's trying to get your money from you.
Right. There's so many people that are trying to bypass the gatekeepers. I mean, we're guilty of that. You know, we want to create our comic, and there's really no way to do it except doing it through crowdfunding, you know, or waiting a long time and paying for it ourselves.
And it's something, well, I've been debating whether to do Patreon for this show, because if you're a fan of the show.
I did it for Comical, and we had support.
Yeah.
I mean, if people like what you're doing and they have expendable income, then it's really not that bad to put it out there and say, hey, please help us, because we're doing this out of our free time. We're giving up our time, we're giving up our money, we're giving up everything we can to put out this great show for you people. And exactly, it's not absurd to ask for a little bit back. It is a little bit different with a band, though, I imagine, because they're not really putting out something like a podcast that's a weekly thing. They're going to do another album a year or whatever.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to ask. Like, what kind of rewards could you provide? Like,
I'm sure
we're going to write a song just for you if you pay a certain amount of money.
Oh, George!
I know, right? That's what I would want if I was paying, like, fucking $200 a month. That's what I would want.
Yeah, I mean, really, the sky's the limit when it comes to rewards and it's really about whatever creativity the band has.
Exactly. The most common thing that content producers on Patreon use as rewards is access.
Yeah.
That's what you're giving people. Is you're basically by patronizing somebody, you're buying access to
patronizing
them.
Somebody.
Well, I mean,
technically, yes. Yeah. You're right.
So that's what Allegiant is doing. At $5 a month, you get early access to new song clips, video content, priority access to monthly Google Hangout sessions with the band, all this kind of stuff. It's access. That's what artists that are on that use Patreon do. It's like you can watch me paint in real time.
All right. So on that topic, I'm a big fan of Devin Townsend. He brought that up. If $5 a month, you could go watch him go through the songwriting process. I would probably pay that.
Yeah, so some of the higher ones, you get like video guitar lessons with the guys.
That's cool.
Dude, that's awesome. Like that. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Watch your shit on YouTube. You need that. If you play guitar, you need to watch these guys.
But really, you can come up with whatever you want. I mean, when we did Patreon for Comical, you know, we had really jokey rewards. It was like, you know, Miguel will have a dream about you and write it in his dream journal and then tell you about it. Or like, it was really just bizarre, weird stuff. And we didn't have a monthly kind of generation thing. Like, we didn't have a behind the scenes sort of thing, because that's a lot of extra work.
Yeah.
And we weren't asking for that much. We were trying to raise like $40 a month to pay for our hosting fees
and stuff. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not asking for, you know, $250,000 a year like these guys. But when you're doing that and you're trying to make this your full-time job, that frees up a lot of time. So those guys will have the time to devote to making the experience so much better for the
writing
people
more
that are,
music,
are promoting.
Recording more, going on more tours.
Right, and even the behind-the-scenes stuff, they can really devote a lot of time to it, because the people that they're doing it for are their bosses. Those are the people that are paying their wage.
And they can demand it.
And the bosses would technically
be us now.
They can demand
things from them.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a really good article that came out about a week ago at this point on Gear Gods.
Mm-hmm.
That is a response to all of this, and they make a lot of really good points. I recommend people, if this is a topic that you've had, you know, you were into, that you were concerned about or whatever, go, even if you were on the side of these guys are a bunch of whiny bitches, they need to get the fuck over it, go read this Gear Gods article. It's really good. And it responds to like all of these points about them being beggars and lazy. And
I don't think they're being beggars
at all. Capitalism, you know, the side of it.
I think to do anything creative in this world, you can't be lazy. And to have been around doing it as long as they have, and to put out such quality. I mean, their last album is a goddamn masterpiece. Like, to put out such quality stuff, you know, you can't be lazy. These guys are awesome, and like, I feel like people should support them.
Well,
I actually think it's kind of a cool way to like. This is kind of like the dawn of, like, maybe it could be the death of record labels. Like, if more bands did this, you're cutting out the middleman, you're going straight to the band.
So, let's go back to the question that came up. They said that the one valid criticism that you could think of is,
you had some kind of critical mass where everybody follows this model and people can't afford to support all the bands.
I mean, it's not only bands doing it. I mean, movies have been doing like Indiegogo for a while.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of indie stuff, but even mainstream things
are
doing it too.
Those are single shots, though. What about this particular instance where it's ongoing?
Yeah, where it makes it tricky for Patreon, it's a monthly thing.
Right.
Is the critical mass, do you think that that's really a concern?
If
you think about it compared to things like how much money do a lot of people that you know or yourself spend on
bullshit?
Other bullshit. Like, you know, do you
Funko Pops?
Funko Pops, for example.
Why are everybody looking at me?
Who are you calling out there?
but those kinds of things I think that the argument that you can hit a critical mass while not completely invalid, I think that the tendency is to think that you would hit that critical mass really quickly, and I don't think that's true.
I don't think it would be quick at all. I mean, these are some of the first guys. These are the pioneers into whether this is even doable. And, you know, if they happen to be successful at it, then maybe people will slowly start to follow. But we're still talking about, like, indie metal guys, which we've already said metal is, like, one of the smallest genres. And
metal's already indie as it is.
Yeah, metal is indie. I mean, it was always in, like, an underground movement. You know, it's not going to be critical mass of metal, but if pop stars and stuff start trying to do this as well, and it becomes like the whole music industry trying to do this, it could certainly hit a point where it's impossible for certain people to support.
Another band doing this on Patreon is an Australian band called Ne Habla Viscaris, which they're a really great band. If you like this band right here, you would like these guys. They just toured with Oceans of Slumber and Enslaved in Europe. And they have a Patreon page, and give them some money. But
crowdfunding is definitely an interesting avenue. But like you said, I really don't know how sustainable I would be willing to be as a fan
for long term. At least,
yeah, for a long term.
You know, if it was like
a subscription service to where like I paid $5 a month and I get all these bands under this umbrella, then I might be interested.
And maybe that's what
probably
the future is going to be.
Business model that's going to happen. Then.
Yeah.
So reading their Patreon page, this is what they say: divided by 6 people in the band, this works out to $34,975 Australian dollars, which is $25,000 USD. Each per year, the minimum amount one can earn for a full-time job in Australia. We have no expectations of wealth or riches. That is of no interest to us. For us, it is much simpler, the dream of being able to do this full-time.
Yeah. So the other side of this is a lot of the criticism that was levied against Allegiant with the shitstorm that happened was that the essence of the criticism was that these guys feel entitled. Let's flip that around. Do the metalheads feel entitled? Is it a sense of entitlement to go, no, fuck you, I'm just going
to
take?
I think it's a sense of not wanting to change. I think that's what it sounds like to me.
I think that's just a general feeling the consumers have in this country nowadays. Like, people don't want to pay for stuff, and it's really shitty, especially when you're trying to be an
indie creator. Why we have things called torrenting.
Yeah.
That's why people steal shit. Exactly right. I mean, It's different than it was 20 years ago.
I stream a lot of my stuff now, so I kind of technically pay for everything.
I will, you know, listen to stuff on YouTube or download stuff from time to time, but if it's a band that I like, I'll go out of my way to support these guys. I mean, now that I know this exists, I'll be.
If it's a band that I like, I'm old school. I will actually go out and purchase a CD, a physical CD.
Oh, I will too. I will too. If it's a
band I can't
that
tell
I like.
You the last time I bought a CD. I think it might have been in like early 2000.
No.
Yep, like maybe 2005.
No.
That was the last time I bought an album.
I bought the New Testament a couple weeks ago.
Is it good?
It's really good.
I gotta check it out.
I think so.
Yeah.
I wasn't impressed with it.
We talked about it on the new MSR cast. There's one song that ruins the fucking album, but we're not going there yet.
So, furthermore, crowdfunding is I really think is an interesting concept. But like I said, I don't know how viable it is. It works for like one shots, like when you're doing like a single issue of a comic, or if you're doing a movie. But what, like, go even further? What about a web series for a TV show?
Yeah,
that gets tricky too, because like you're only paying per season.
Right. I think that works better for something like Patreon though, because or like web comics in particular. Like you're paying Patreon for web comics, and you're getting a new issue every week or every day or whatever it is. So you get to see what your money's going towards a little bit easier than something like this, where you're paying a band to be able to live. so that a year from now, hopefully, they'll have an album.
Right.
You know, it takes a tremendous amount of faith from the people that are supporting them. And I can understand that's a lot to ask, but you also got to support what you love. And if you don't, it will go away. And it's not really holding people hostage. It's just a reality of the situation. Like
I
talked about.
I would personally love to have one of these guys from the band on the show and discuss this, like, in depth. I mean, it's a great topic. I mean,
I'm sure you could make that happen.
I know. I mean, this is, I mean, like you said, from the blogs and stuff like that, it's such a polarizing topic right now in the metal scene.
I talked to a guitarist for a while when the album first came out, because I started tweeting him and he got back to me, and they're very accessible guys. And I think even more so now that the Patreon's going on. So you could definitely probably get him on.
I'll pay him $5 to come on the show.
You probably could.
How much of a whore are you?
Exactly.
So
right.
I guess let's go around the table. What do you think about this? And would you pledge? Would you pledge if you...
To which band, though? I mean...
To this band. Let's say if this is something that interests you. You're a fan of the band, too. You said yourself.
Yeah, I like them a lot, but...
Is it enough for you to pay $5 for?
Probably not. It's not something I listen to every day. If it's a band I listen to every day, I would be more apt to do it.
There's...
I don't know.
There's, you know, some crappy local band in town right now that is somebody's favorite band.
Right.
You know, so you don't have to be that guy, necessarily. Somebody else... I mean, there's so much music out there that you look at and wonder... Who the fuck is behind this? This is awful shit.
Tell me, when was the last time you spent $60?
On what?
Anything.
I don't know.
Really? You can't remember the last time you spent $60?
Like the grocery stores?
Right.
Yesterday?
That's $5 a month is $60 a year.
Yeah.
So.
But it's also food on my table.
So, there is an individual critical
mass.
Right. There definitely is an individual.
There is an individual critical mass. So if you ask me, would I pay $5 a month for this? I'm not a big enough fan. Like, I think that they're wonderful.
I would agree on that.
I don't know that much about them. I haven't listened to them for very long. Really, this album is the first that I've listened to them.
Let me ask you this. What if it's a band like Opeth or Blind Guardian that were doing this?
Then I would be more likely to.
Get something that you would listen to every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's your band. That's your jam.
Right. Exactly.
But
But how many times,
household name? I mean, they're not really household because they're metal, but those are established bands.
They need it less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an indie band that could grow into something bigger.
That could survive or fail based on this. And I feel like, you know, you can't support every indie band that's asking for help. You can't support every indie comic, but
you can support every movie too.
If this is even something you kind of like and you have the disposable income, you got to at least consider it.
Well, are you considering it?
I didn't even know this existed, but yes, I will pledge to this. Absolutely.
Well, the other part of
I really like these guys a lot. Like, I discovered them back in 2010, and that album was great, and this one's even better, and I don't want to see these guys fail. So
that's what they need. They need that. I'm not that guy right now.
Me either.
But Justin is. And so,
that's great.
And that's what they need. To your point that, yeah, Blind Guardian needs this support less. Opeth needs this support less than these guys do.
Opeth needs it less than anybody out there.
Are there bands out there that I would be like, I may not give $5 a month to this band. I might do $1 a month for this band and $2 for this band.
Let's go around the table. What's that one or two band that you would... Okay, this is a band I want to support. They're doing Patreon now. They need to survive. I'm going to devote $5 of my hard-earned money every month to these guys. What band is that for you?
Right now, I don't know. I'm not sure. But that actually it brings up the other point that I was getting to, is when you sign up for stuff like this, it's not like you're signed up for life.
You can cancel any time.
So at any point, you could go, I don't really feel like supporting these guys this way anymore. Or I don't feel like they need my support this way
anymore. They're just not delivering on their promises.
Or they're not delivering on their promises. Or my tastes have changed and I just don't like it. You can take that same $2, $3, $5 and give it to somebody else that needs it.
What about you, George? Is there a band that you would support as much as this?
No, because like I said, I pay for streaming.
What if Run the Jewels was running this?
I listened to
And it was the matter of whether they'd survive or not.
Oh, that's impossible.
If
you didn't support their either Kickstarter or their Patreon anymore, they wouldn't be able to run with the jewels anymore. What would you do?
I don't know. I would consider it. I'm not a huge crowdfunder. I've only started crowdfunding projects till I started my own. I'd never
so
really
you should support more then.
Well, I mean, I never really tried it until then.
Right.
Until Justin brought it up when we were coming out with issue one, and now that I'm doing it, I see the benefit of it because we've read a lot of cool indie stuff.
We reaped the benefits of it, so
yeah. And I don't know. I would have to think about like if there's a band I would want, because I really find it really hard to pledge to movies and stuff because. And some of those movies look really bad on Kickstarter and Indiegogo.
I can't deny that one.
And I don't know. If it was a band like I really liked, I don't see why not.
There's one other thing we didn't talk about. Video games do it a lot, too.
They do Kickstarter a lot.
Yeah.
The Kickstarter, like Shenmue 3 Kickstarter, they made like $1 million in the game still not out yet.
I do tabletop games a lot on Kickstarter now.
That's the problem with games and some comic creators and stuff is that they'll make promises they can't deliver on.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And so you
with that Mighty Number 9 that came out that was Kickstartered,
yeah.
And it got destroyed by reviews.
So, I mean, you have to be aware of what's going on. You have to be familiar with the creators that are behind these projects and know whether there's somebody that's going to follow through or not. And you're always taking a risk anytime you try to back an indie project. That's just the nature of it. But if people have a track record...
Unless you back Grey Bear Comics, because we always deliver
on
promise.
We always deliver, and we always will. Because I've been on the other end of
they
it.
They deliver with back rubs, too.
We'll give you whatever you want if you give us some money.
Exactly.
Dude, if you count up with that, you know, $1,000 limit, I will come to your house and give you a back rub. Oils and all.
We're putting that on the issue 3 Kickstarter.
Happy endings.
Happy endings. It's in parentheses.
Grey Bear back rub. That's right. No.
What about you? Is there any one band that you would really support like this?
There's too many to count, honestly. Like these guys, absolutely. I really like these guys. I listen to them all the time.
What if a Bjorn came out, Bjorn Speed, said, like, hey, I need money.
Solo project? I'd absolutely give Speed some money. Soilwork and a Heartbeat, In Flames even. Like, I mean, I'm not terribly fond of the direction they're going.
I know this is an audio podcast, but the look I just gave you when you said In Flames, I was like, ugh.
They're one of my favorite bands of all time, and I keep hoping they'll kind of gravitate back towards what they used to be.
So if you gave them $5 a month, maybe they'll get back to that.
If I give you $5 a month, will you make better music?
I mean, I don't know if they have it in them anymore.
I don't know if the black metal guys would ever like figure out how to use crowdfunding or not, but like, there's a bunch of black metal guys that I'd give money to. Like, if I had tons of money to give away, I would be giving it to, you know, lots of different bands, but... You know, I got to be selective, but there's really not that many people asking either. So
that's the beauty and also the I guess the negative side of this whole crowdfunding thing. You get to be the people who pay money get to be super selective.
Yes,
but that also puts the power in the people's hands. They get to choose what they want, and the stuff that's really good rises out of that.
I want more Allegion. I'll say that right now. These guys in particular, they're the subject of our discussion. I want more of their stuff, and I will be pledging for sure.
To summarize, let's wrap this portion of the show up. Patreon for bands. Do you think it's a good or bad thing? Just really quickly.
I think some form of this is the wave of the future. It's where the market
it's
is going
there,
go.
But it's not quite there yet.
I don't think
it's perfect yet.
But it's what's going to happen. Once some form of this or another is where the creator economy is going.
Pay for our tour. That's what the next thing.
Speak with your dollars. I agree with Dave.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting, and I would like to see how this all shakes out. I mean, we've already seen the mass thing that happened with Kickstarter. It was like an overnight success once they launched, and same thing with Patreon. And this could be a good avenue for indie bands to get out there and use their small network to become a large network. So. Yeah.
That's true. Very true. All right, so let's get into our sponsors real quick, and we have a couple more segments to get to. We'll be back. Do you want to listen to the show even better than you can now?
How could I do that?
Do you know how? Justin, our permanent special guest host for a couple times.
Put a seashell to one ear and listen on the other.
Yes,
exactly. And you hear sweet sounds of the ocean at the same time.
You hear the songs of the ocean.
You just got to give it a little tweak, you know.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Wait a minute. I see what you did there.
Oh.
No, seriously. Let's be serious for a second. I know we don't usually do that, but talking about our sponsors now.
That's what she said.
You want great sounding audio in your ear holes? Where do you need to go?
Tweakedaudio.com.
Tweakedaudio.com.
What Dave said.
We're going to let Dave do this whole thing now. I don't think he's really done the whole thing before.
Damn it.
I'm going to sit back and let Dave take care of it.
All right, so tweakedaudio.com. Get you some nice headphones. Save 33% with the code MetalGeeks. Get free shipping and a lifetime guarantee.
Wow.
Somebody it's great actually, for every metalhead fan.
That's right.
You also get a third off the cost of them.
That's 33% off.
That's right.
He did math.
Good does job. The brain good.
I think good.
Tweaked audio makes you smarter.
That's right.
They didn't say that.
Like I said, I use mine every day. I started inspired by this gentleman right here. I hooked up my elliptical, got it going, and I've been working out every morning before work and every evening after work. And
awesome, man. Talking about, I used to be really fucking fat, and now I'm just kind of fat.
I didn't, because I've lost like 100 pounds, and I got to lose more.
I'm right there with you.
Good audio headphones.
Dave just doesn't care.
Done. I did my part.
Type in the code Metal Geeks, save you some monies, get yourself some good headphones.
There you go.
So it's that time of the week where we all get to discuss what's tickling your little geek.
Why does it have to be little? Can it just be geek?
Dude, we all know it's little. We don't need to keep talking about it.
All right, fine.
All right, so you want to go first this time?
No, I'll let you go first. This is your segment, so you get to kick it off.
Yay, my second very own segment. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm a real boy now.
I'm a real boy. So I on my way here, I just found out some really great news. One of my favorite comic books just got greenlit and has a director attached to get made. It is the Bone film, or Bone comic book series is being made into a film. And it's from the director who did all the Kung Fu Panda movies and The Little Prince.
So it's going to be an animated movie.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. I've been waiting for this movie for
decades. Did you have like
decades.
A nerdgasm in the car? Oh my God.
Well, I didn't have a gasm in the car, but I was super excited.
Started hugging his bone, you know?
Love that bone.
That
goddamn
news gave me a bone.
I'm a huge fan of the comic series. I got a chance to meet Jeff Smith last year, was it? Or the year before? It was the year before.
Yeah, a couple years ago, Comicalooza.
And he was super nice, and I talked to him then, and he had no clue, and he says he gets that question a lot about a movie, and I'm really glad that it's finally moving forward, because I knew back in the 90s they tried to do it, and it just kind of all fell apart, and then it got stuck in development.
Now, who's in talks to actually direct it?
The guy who did Kung Fu Panda, and Kung Fu Panda 2 and 3.
Interesting.
What's his name? Like Matthew something, Matt something.
Okay.
He also did the Little Prince, which is on Netflix now, which was also in development hell for a long time.
Yeah, wasn't it supposed to be coming this year, and like right before it came out, it just got canceled, and they
couldn't get a
Netflix
distributor, and then Netflix bought it, and they put
it
out.
Have you seen that?
No, it's on my queue, but I've heard nothing but rave reviews, and it looks great, so I'm excited to see that too.
So a Bone movie, huh?
A Bone movie has finally come. They just got to get the voice
casting.
They got
Bone movies all over the internet, man. They're really easy to find. I don't know why you're so excited.
Actually, back in the day, they made a Bone video game, like an adventure point-and-click game, which is pretty close to the movie as you can get.
Leisure Suit Larry?
Yes. That's exactly
it. Like Justin says, be very careful when you're searching Google for this.
Just type in Boone. Bone comic book movie.
Yeah, just don't put Bone movie.
Yeah, don't put Bone movie. You'll get something entirely
especially
different.
Especially at work, because that firewall might not let you.
So yeah, that's my news that I'm really excited about.
Awesome.
Justin, you want to go now?
Sure. I discovered a website from a friend of mine
called
horrorgeeklife.com.
Horror Geek Life?
Horror Geek Life.
Not whores.
Not whores.
Whores.
Horror.
Horror.
Geeklife.com. And they do a lot of really cool shit talking about old horror movies and like movies you may have forgotten about.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
And they do stuff with like retro gaming and like current gaming. And
What is it called?
Horrorgeeklife.com.
I'm there right now.
They got some really cool stuff on the website. And I've been reading through a lot of articles and finding different movies that I had forgotten about.
This website sounds very familiar. Did they do a review for our comic book?
They did a review of our comic.
All right, so that's why I know that name.
Yeah, but I've been going through there and reading a lot of the stuff about movies that I had forgotten about or never heard of. And
yeah, what did you read that like recently? That
I like this article. 5 Reasons Why Jingle All the Way is a Perfect Holiday Film.
It is.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
It's one of my favorites. I watch it every Christmas.
There's an article I read about 10 forgotten VHS horror movies.
Oh, yeah?
Earlier today.
Do you remember like number one?
Number one was Idle Hands.
Oh, I loved that movie back in high school.
I actually still have it on VHS.
Well, it's because I had a huge crush on Jessica Alba back then, though. So
not anymore?
No, she's damaged goods now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 terrible video games based on movies.
Yeah.
Friday
the 13th is pretty bad as it gets.
Wow, that's cool. HorrorGeekLife.com. Do they do podcasts or anything like that yet?
The administrator for the site is a friend of mine, and she is planning on starting up a podcast pretty soon. So
very cool.
Definitely could be some cross-promotion opportunities there in the future. But
yeah, tell us. Maybe she can have her as a guest on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd
bring her
that.
On. Yeah, let's do it. The Beauty and the Beast article. Did you all see that trailer yet?
I did.
It's almost a shot-for-shot remake of the original trailer for Beauty
Songs
and the
Beast.
And all. Yeah. It looks beautiful. It looks really pretty.
It looks really weird to me.
Really?
I will agree. The chip cup or Mrs. Potts or whatever, that looked a little very.
It's the
very
pinstriping
awkward.
Come to life.
The
yeah. Or the art. Artisan.
I was wondering how they were going to.
It'd be really weird if like fucking parts of the thing moved and talked.
Well, they do.
I just want to know what Gaston's going to look like.
Oh, he's in the trailer.
He's in the trailer.
Yeah. Is he?
He's kind of puny looking,
he
though, if you ask me.
He is kind of puny looking.
But they do a big manly Gaston song.
I was just listening to a podcast today where they're actually...
You've never seen Beauty and the Beast?
I've seen the Disney one. I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Well, that scene that they do the Gaston song in the pub or whatever.
No one fights like Gaston and all that.
Yeah.
I was actually listening to a podcast today where they interviewed the guy. I think his name is Richard White, something like that. He's the one. He's the voice actor for Gaston.
Mm.
It was an interesting interview.
So is this Beauty podcast. And the Beast thing is going to be your interesting news for the week?
That is not my interesting news.
Oh, okay.
But it is very Disney specific. We watched this right before you guys came over. Over at Disney Springs at Walt Disney World in Florida, they've created this new nighttime show, very short show, in the sky. And they're using drones for the show. So all the lights and everything are on pre-programmed drones to do this show in the sky. It's actually pretty cool.
I'm waiting how long it takes for people to shoot them down.
Well,
or them to become sentient and just start attacking people.
Or that. that's a Christmas horror movie that we're waiting for.
That's the Universal. That's where the Terminator ride is at. So, no, but they just got permission to fly drones over, you know, all of Disney property. And this is, nobody's like, okay, why? They're doing that. And this is why. They're creating
and also to surveillance you while you're in the park to make sure
you're
not
doing
anything
stupid.
Well,
they do that already with the bands that you wear, so there's no doubt about that.
Making sure you're in the wrong part of the park and stuff like that.
That's right.
They tag you, and then when you're at home, they pay attention to your internet history. How can we get them to come back to the park?
I wonder if like
easy. Just give me a discount.
You know, I like to picture like there's like an underground security park to Disney World where they're all wearing like space ball heads, helmets, but with ears on it. That's what I like to imagine.
Like Dead Mouse?
No, because that covers their face. I want the space ball helmet with ears on it. That's what I like to imagine them wearing.
Yeah.
Are they naked or just...
No. They have like the whole like, you know, jumpsuit, whatever, like security outfit. But I want the helmet with the ears on it. I think that would be hilarious.
I thought you meant just the helmet.
That's the wrong kind of movie.
I can see how you felt like that was implied in what he said. Yeah,
just the helmet. That's your news.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool.
The drone news.
It was a little. The video that we watched was a little difficult to watch. I guess the guy's camera kept on focusing in the wrong places, but it's a cool show. I mean, I wish it was there a couple weeks ago when we were there. You know, I would have watched it.
Mm.
And
is this something they're gonna do weekly, or do you know?
I don't know. It seems like it's a holiday thing. I don't know if it's gonna turn into something permanent, but the show in particular that's there right now is Christmas themed.
I can't imagine it lasts too long because drone batteries don't last that long.
Well, it's a show with like 5 or 10 minutes, so
yeah, I guess so.
That's all you need, really.
Drone batteries last about 20 minutes.
So just go to Google and you can find video. I'm sure a lot of people have been posting video of it. Just look for, you know, drone Disney Springs or something like that, and you'll find it.
I'm going to wait for the day where like they malfunction and start crashing on people. It's going to be awesome.
Are you going to name this episode Bone and Drone Geekery? Because that would be excellent.
I am now. That's why I had you here, to come up with some titles.
I'm good at snappy names.
Right. What about you, Dave?
Where were you for the other
tickling
one?
Tickling your geek.
I'm actually excited for next week. You know, really important day happens next week. Everybody know?
What is it?
Thanksgiving?
Close. It's the MST3K Turkey Day Marathon.
Oh, really? Is it?
Yeah.
On what channel?
It's a YouTube thing. They do it every year. Joel Hodgson hosts it, and it looks like this year they're going to have Jonah Ray co-hosting it with him.
Oh, that's cool.
Because he's going to be your new normal or whatever on the new season of the show. So, so historically Joel hosts it, and they just basically all he's doing is emceeing this thing, and then they show classic Mystery Science Theater all day long.
Is this going to be like a YouTube live thing? Mm-hmm. And not YouTube Red, though.
No.
Okay, so it's free
Joel Hodgson is an interesting fellow.
I remember meeting him that one time. He was very odd.
Yeah. Well, look who we were interviewing at the time.
That's true.
It was a lot of fun. He was very cool. Hey, I remember when I went to him and tried to get some social media stuff for him being there, he was like, no, you got to talk to... I'm the assistant. You got to talk to Joel. I'm like, no, you're not. He's like, no. I'm the assistant. You got to talk to this guy over here.
Hey, what happened to that Kickstarter thing that they did? Did that get funded? Is that happening still?
Yeah.
When is that supposed to come out? Do you know?
I'm sure they'll talk about it next week.
Oh. Am I wrong? Did something get picked up by Netflix?
Got picked up by Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Like where everything good is going, pretty much.
Oh, and also a cool thing that's coming out on Amazon the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Tour, which is basically...
Grand Tour?
Yeah, it's basically that BBC show... I'm drawing a blank on right now.
Doctor Who?
No, it's about cars. It's about these three dudes that...
Oh, are you talking about... I know what you're talking
God,
about.
God, I'm having a brain fart, and it's really bad because I watched
that
show
trailer. I'm like, what is this crap?
It's really cool. I know the new show is called Grand Tour, and I'm drawing a blank on the old show, and I shouldn't because I watch it all the time. It doesn't matter. Comes out the 18th.
Actually, I think it does matter now.
Whatever.
All right, so just to touch on something that was tickling my geek last week, they released a trailer for Dead Rising 4. There's going to be 4-player couch co-op on that game, online as well.
That's a thing that's dying out these days. It's
very much like it looks like a third person version of Left 4 Dead. There's going to be missions and things. It looks really awesome.
Cool.
I'm excited for that.
I got tired of those games. I'll play it. If I come over... And,
yeah, you will.
Yeah.
I'll be playing the hell out of that game.
Yeah.
So, no doubt about that. So, that everybody's geek been tickled sufficiently?
Always. Especially mine.
Everybody spent?
I like getting my geek tickled.
everybody spent, ready to go?
Yeah, let's put a bow on this puppy.
All right, we'll be back. All right, so we are here at the George Hates Metal segment of the show. We just heard a little bit of the band that we don't know if George is going to hate it or love it quite yet. But the band of the week was picked by Justin. It's Moore's...
That's not the band we listen to.
It's not Metallica. Yeah.
No, that might be next week.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I want to make us all suffer for that. But the band that was picked was a band that I've discussed on MSRcast before. We've struggled on how to say their name.
I know you and I have talked about it.
Yeah,
a
so it might
too.
Be Moore's Principium.
It's Moore's Principium Est.
Est. Or E-S-T, or established.
Est. Yeah. I'm going to go with Est.
Est. Yeah. Let's go with Est.
It's a complicated name.
But a good band, in my opinion.
They're very good.
Finnish band.
But I'm not going to, but we'll let George take over.
Yeah. Oh, is it my turn to talk
it's
now?
It's your turn to talk.
Oh, okay.
You have my permission.
So, Moore's Pendulum Establishment.
Nope. You got to say it correctly.
Moore's Principium Est.
There you go. That band. It wasn't bad. It was very enjoyable, actually. It was better than I thought it was going to be. We only listened to about...
We listened to the whole album.
Did we really?
Dawn of the Fifth Era.
It must be a really short album, then.
It's about 45 minutes.
Oh, okay. So it was pretty good. I liked it a lot. It has moments that remind me of Lamb of God. And
You said that, and I never... I do hear that in their in the style. Because
it's in the
riffing.
The rhythms that they use. Yeah, but I'm a big fan.
I like Lamb of God, so...
So, Moore's Principium Est is a Latin term for death is a beginning. It's a Finnish melodic death metal band formed in 1999.
I wonder if they use Google Translate for their Latin words.
Who would do such a thing?
I don't know. Not us and Speak No Evil. No, never.
Actually, if you really want an inside scoop, if you've bought the comic... Go Google Translate the Latin parts, because it's pretty funny.
I'm going to have to do that now. But Finnish melodic death doom, one of my favorite styles.
Is it death doom?
Yeah.
It just felt like regular metal to me.
It's melodic death metal, which is definitely my favorite genre. They're one of my...
George is the side of the meme that's pointing at where it says metal, and we're on the other side of the line where it's got everything.
It has like a million subgenres of
metal. That's pretty much it.
So there you go. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I'm actually going to probably listen to it some more tomorrow or on my way home.
That's awesome. I'm glad that my first time bringing a album to George Hates Metal, the segment that I named, it ended up being a album that George liked.
There you go.
What would you compare them to?
Lamb of God. Yeah, this is the only band I could really think of off the top of my head, maybe. I couldn't really place the vocals. I mean, I'm sure I've heard vocals like that somewhere before, too, but I can't really place it right now.
Did you hate them?
No.
Okay, because that's usually the deal killer for you.
Yeah, it really... Well, coming from... I used to be in a few bands in high school, and I was the vocalist in those bands, so vocals are usually, a big deal to me, and if I either, A, can't understand it or enjoy it, I'm usually not going to like it. Or if I can't replicate it in some kind of fashion or form.
So the album that we listened to is called Dawn of the Fifth Era.
Error.
And it came out in 2014.
Yeah, it's their most recent one.
They have a new one coming out in a few months, don't they?
Early 2017, I'm
Embers,
excited for it.
Embers of a Dying World.
Yeah.
Maybe they're on Patreon.
they're another band that I would support. I really like their stuff.
I mean, if you're a fan of, Finnish mellow death, if you like Amorphis, if you like...
That's my
Insomnium,
jam.
Insomnium, if you like, Omnium Gathering, if you like any of that stuff. What'd you say? I'm sorry?
So that's my jam?
That's peanut butter and jelly.
That shit's my jam.
It's peanut butter and jam.
When Justin picked this earlier today, we had a behind the scenes look here. So we have a chat going where we were talking about the show. Justin picked this album. I went and started up and listened to it, and I was like, I jokingly said, "This doesn't sound anything like what Justin would listen to." It's exactly the kind of thing that Justin would listen to.
Sarcasm at its best.
It's a perfect example of the type of music that I love.
Yeah.
I'm right on board with that, Mitchie, man.
Yeah.
Word.
And George, too. I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
Yeah. I liked Insomnia, and y'all brought that to my attention, too. So I'm
a big fan
of
style of metal that we can all agree that George actually enjoys. That's Finnish Mellow Death.
Yeah.
Everyone likes Finnish metal.
I think so.
And part of that is because of market saturation. There's so goddamn much of it.
Well, there's different styles of Finnish
not this subgenre specifically, but yeah, just Finnish heavy metal. There's a fucking lot of it.
If you have not heard the 40-minute Insomnium album they just put out, phenomenal.
Word.
Great. It's phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I'm not doing any...
Phenomenal.
Dude, we were the ones drinking whiskey, and you're the ones making all the jokes. What's going on?
Hey, man, I don't have my podcast anymore. I got to make jokes somewhere.
That's true. So we did find a band that you enjoyed. You'll go back and listen to this more?
Yeah, totally.
So that's two in a row.
Yeah.
That he didn't
we're
hate.
On a roll, man.
We gotta like I said, you're wearing me down, I guess.
Wait, what did we play last week? I forgot.
I'm going to go blank on the name. It was...
The Russian band.
No, they're a Polish band with a Russian name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Batushka.
Batushka.
Mamushka. That's right. Mamushka. Because I kept saying Mamushka in the show. Like the Adams Family dance. You know, Mamushka.
We
got
to find
Mamushka.
Something that he really does not like. So next week it's super...
Yeah, it's like King Diamond. That's your answer.
No. I think next week we got to listen to the really cheesy power metal.
Oh, yeah, I definitely won't like
the
that.
The new Freedom Call album is my choice.
I listened to that with you the other day. It's you're going to hate it.
I think you will. All right, well, that's our George Hates Metal for this week, and we'll be right back. And we have reached the end of this episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast. Before we go, we do have our question of the week that was given us by the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, who we are a part of.
Whoop whoop.
This was posted by our friend John Brulee over there. Question of the week, what do you think is right with modern video games, and what do you think is wrong? I know it's sort of a two-part question, but...
Okay. Okay, VR is definitely a step in the right direction for video games. Have you tried PlayStation's VR?
I have tried PSVR.
And did you not enjoy it?
It was okay. It just doesn't look great.
I think it looks amazing. I think you have... Well, you wear glasses, so that's what
I do.
That's what's wrong with me. That did cause me problems. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. They have it adjusts for your glasses.
You think that's good, though? I mean, you don't think it's a gimmick?
No, especially the Vive games, the PC VR system. I think it's great. I think it's a fun and new games can emerge from that. It's kind of like we're seeing the fucking future coming to life for us.
Doesn't hurt your eyes?
No, not at all.
I mean, the Cubs are in the World Series, and
Trump has won president.
And Biff has become president.
Yeah. We're already
living in the darkest timeline.
It's definitely a whole new world. I really think VR is a step in the right direction. I'm really excited to see how that can only get better. And still, at the end of the day, my favorite video game franchise is Uncharted. So yes, keep giving me games like that. Uncharted, Last of Us, and I'll be a happy camper.
But can you play a full, 15, 20-hour game on VR?
Why not?
I don't know. I think it's more of a...
At some point, somebody's going to come over to your house and find you in a puddle.
I haven't done anything but play this game. What's this reality?
Right. I think VR is very cool. And the few games...
Why don't you buy it, then?
I can't afford it right now.
Well, when you can't afford it, would you buy it?
Of course I would. Yeah. But I need to buy the camera and the controllers.
I got the Move controllers if you want to borrow those. I don't use them.
Do you have the Move camera?
Nope.
Yeah, see, I need the camera and the controller.
Just let me play the PSVR when you buy it.
Yeah, of course. It's $400.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it. I really want to play Batman VR. It looks super cool.
You could be Batman.
That's like 80 indie bands you could support.
I'd rather play Batman. I'd rather be Batman. Also, they're coming out with Star Wars VR.
Yeah.
I was kind of excited for No Man's Sky. Then No Man's Sky came out, and I saw people play it. And then I'm like, oh, not going to play that game in VR.
What about Aliens VR? That'd be awesome.
Aliens?
Alien?
Yeah. Like Alien Resurrection, the game?
Like you're a Mexican in America. No. You're running from INS.
No, in Trump's America.
Yeah, that's what I meant. In modern America.
No, Alien, like the classic science fiction movie. Where
the
you're
Xenomorph
stuck on.
Alien. Yes. Like in that game, new game that just came out, yeah. Isolation.
Yeah.
I was super scared playing that game, so imagine I probably would not play that game because I'd probably crap my pants.
Now, what about you, Dave? I mean, what's your opinion? What's
think,
wrong? What's right?
I think.
I didn't answer what's wrong part. Oh well.
I feel like I don't know. We'll what I to go to, I feel like is maybe kind of a bullshit excuse of an answer, but it's not any less true. Game franchises that put out a new game every year.
I agree.
Assassin's Creed.
Well, they didn't put one out this year.
They skipped a year.
They skipped a year to make them better, which is all right. They put out a movie though.
They skipped because they're putting out a game to put out a movie. That's the only reason they're skipping a year.
I feel like that the most obvious offender here is Call of Duty.
Yeah,
and it's like
sport games.
Sports game. Well,
sports games.
Sports games. They don't have to really do much to make them better each year. They just add a few new options or whatever.
Right, and that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's like,
and that's what's wrong with video games.
Now, again, they prove me wrong because they sell them.
Well,
right.
Yeah, they sell like hotcakes.
Right.
And then
they also have a quick turnaround too.
Well, yeah, the value drops the minute you walk out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you mean my $60 game is worth like 25 cents now? Yep. I just bought it like last week.
But yeah, I don't like that. I don't like these massive game franchises cuz it feels to me like they just turn into the cash grabs that they are. And
but Infinite Warfare looked cool.
There are certainly outliers.
I'm going to play Devil's Advocate.
And
I'm going to play Devil's Advocate on that because
looks pretty awesome too.
Infinite Warfare surprised me on how awesome of a game that is. It's probably the most fun this year I've had playing a game.
But you haven't played
Uncharted
Battlefield
4.
1 yet.
I have not.
And that looks super cool.
And when I get my copy from Century Media, I will let both of you guys borrow it and play through it. It's only like a 6 or 7 hour game.
So, I really want to play Titanfall too, and both of y'all say it looks really awesome.
It looks really awesome.
It does look fun.
I feel like what's right, though,
yes, what's
is,
right.
is kind of the antithesis of that, which is, again, this ties in with this kind of who are the gatekeepers thing that we were talking about earlier, indie games. There's all the indie games, a small
production
houses.
Still waiting for that
houses.
Goddamn Cuphead game.
Right? When's Cuphead coming out?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know?
I don't know either.
Oh. Cuphead, it's
a like
side-scroller shooter,
school.
But
it's
they both turned and looked at me like I should have an answer for when
you,
Cuphead
I, you,
comes
if
out.
You would totally dig this game, though.
Damn it, Dave.
It's a side-scroller shooter, but it's
But it's
like,
made to look like a 1940s cartoon.
No, it looks like Steamboat Willie.
Okay.
It looks amazing, but it's not out yet.
It's been waiting for it for 2 years.
It's supposed to be really difficult, too. Really difficult. I mean,
needs to happen.
I mean, you're right. There's been some amazing indie games mm-hmm. that's come out this year.
Meathead.
Past couple years, I mean, some of the best games have been indie stuff recently.
I think that's where the game industry feels most like the game industry did in its not its infancy, but in its toddler phase.
Yeah.
In the phase where everyone went, there are no rules because there are no genres because we haven't figured all that stuff out yet. Let's just see what stuff can do. What can we make a game do? And they don't have to be concerned with things like, well, but what is it? Is it a strategy game? Is it a first-person shooter game? Like, you have all of these kind of marketing categories for most of your major games. They're all kind of the same thing. All of your first-person shooters are, for the most part, the same thing.
A lot of them are very cookie-cutter. It's the same template.
And I think that in the indie world is where they get to mess with that, where they get to tweak the formula and go, we're not going to do that. We're going to recreate this idea of a video game kind of from the ground up and do something totally new with it. And I think that's where exciting things happen in video games. And I think that they always have.
Yeah.
And those things end up influencing what the major players end up doing.
Good point. I might be stealing one of Justin's things here, but I'm going to tell you what's
you
wrong with the
say.
Industry right now. It
no,
is not.
He knows exactly what I'm going to say.
There's not enough couch co-op games.
Yeah. you want to play with your friends in a room. Like, that's definitely what I feel is the most wrong with the industry, is that there are not very friendly games for people that want to play with their friends in the same room.
Like, but if they did that, they couldn't sell you the extra bonus packs to play online with other people.
That's not my problem.
That's usually included in the game.
And Halo did that plenty of times.
Yeah.
Like Halo 2, 3, and all the like spinoffs, you had couch co-op, and you also had map packs and stuff. They sold very well. So you can definitely make money with add-on content and have split screen. Like, I love first-person shooters, and I love the Halo franchise in particular, and I would love to be able to sit there and play Halo on my couch with a friend or with multiple friends, and I can't do that anymore. Now it's single player only, and it really fucking sucks.
That way they make more money.
How?
Your friend needs to have a Xbox, and then your
friend... No, it just ends up with my friends not buying it.
One of the other things...
Experience is worse, because like I returned Halo 5 when
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. I waited until I could buy it for like a nickel before I went back and got it.
I was going to pay
$60 for a single
player game. The other bad things about the industry right now is microtransactions in video games. You shouldn't be paying $60 for a AAA title.
Like Star Wars Battlefront.
Battlefront is one
of them. Fuck that in particular, because the trailer made it look a lot cooler than what it really is, and you only get like 3 maps when you buy the game.
But you know, I will say the thing that I like about video games right now is nostalgia factor.
That was what I was going to say as well.
Was it?
I love the super highly portable retro gaming systems that are coming back out, like the Genesis.
I love new indie games that are retro styled. Like,
okay, so it's not exactly the same.
Well, yeah. my favorite bit of retro gaming this year was an Uncharted 4 when you got to play Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, levels. Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome.
It was kind of complicated playing it. I guess it took a while for me to get used to that.
Yeah. Because all D-pad can up, down, left, and right. That's all you could do.
And jump.
Yep. It's not like circle strafe and all that anymore. But I don't know.
I think remastering games that you loved 10 years ago and not doing anything with the remaster, a.k.a. what they're doing with Elder Scrolls coming out soon.
Skyrim, sorry.
Supposedly
they made the graphics better.
What I read, they're not really changing
much.
But
they did that with Halo, the Anniversary Edition, too, and they changed the physics. So the game played like garbage, even though it looked really pretty. Like
I think when they were like, hey, we're going to remaster an Elder Scrolls game, I'm like, it's going to be fucking Skyrim. The one that needs it the least. If they wanted to impress me, they would have redone Morrowind.
Or just make another game.
Because Morrowind deserves it.
It was so good.
Morrowind is such a good game that gets lost in the fact that the technology couldn't really handle it at the time.
Yeah.
Like Uncharted, when it got remastered, was really good. But
if you think some games they call them Uncharted, I'm sorry, they call them, you know, remastered, some of them are just up-res, you know.
And I don't know. I think that's what's really cool. I hate the fact that they're just repackaging and double dipping.
Well, they're always going to do that.
Yeah.
Definitely Blu-rays even do that. You know, movies do that all the time. It
pisses me off even more. Like
Star Wars
fucking,
that just came out?
Or fucking Mad Max. I wish I would have known a special edition of Mad Max was coming out and I wouldn't have bought it.
You knew that.
I didn't.
Well, just because they announced it, you knew it. You know they're eventually going to do that.
No, like, the version...
Is there, like, a black and white version now?
Yeah, that's the one
like
I'm talking about. It's the Mad Max Blood and Chrome. Or Black and Chrome.
It's interesting, though.
Yeah, it's the one I want, but I'm not going to buy it again, because I already own it.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just going to wait till someone else buys it and borrow it.
No, I think you're going to wind up buying it. You're going to find it used one day. You're going to go, okay, I'll buy this.
Yeah, if I find it used.
Or if it's, like, a Black Friday special, you'll buy it.
Well, it's not coming out anytime soon, so...
Well,
comes out next year, I think.
Well, next Black Friday.
Next Black Friday. There you go. I'm running out of movie space anyway, so I need to stop buying so many movies.
Just sell some.
Sell some. Yeah, I'm going to have a garage sale.
All right. Well, I think that's our opinions on what's good and bad about the video game industry right now.
Word.
But that's it for this episode, I guess. Let's talk about where people can find us all over the internet.
Sure.
First of all. No.
Our,
no, talk about our show.
Oh, me.
Us.
Oh. They can find us on iTunes and all the social medias, like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Just type in Metal Geeks, and we're very accessible and easy to find. drop us a line. Let us know what you think of the show.
That's right.
And subscribe to the show on iTunes and not SoundCloud. Stitcher, right?
We're on Stitcher as well as Google Play now.
There you go.
If you want to email us, you can do that at msrcast@gmail.com. Any comments or anything, any topics you want us to talk about, whatever, send us an email there. While you're on iTunes, like you said, please subscribe. That's the best way to get people to find out about the show.
And send us a little review. Let us know how much you love us, especially me.
You can find us also on social medias, on the Twitter and the Instagrams and the Facebooks. And as always, keep it metal and keep it geeky.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.